notes here. Points I might want to touch on that I probably won't, because that's how I usually do it. So I've been sober February 24th, 2013. I got a home group. It's the same one Chase was talking about. Southside Men's Black Belt. Got a sponsor. Worked the steps with him. Currently not sponsoring anybody. Available. I'm willing to work with other guys. It's been a big part of my recovery. And I go to that detox on Wednesdays with Chase every week, and that's been really good for me. I like that a lot. I moved to Germany when I was 12 years old, and that's kind of where it all started for me. I was living in Florida before then, military family. And I believe that there is definitely a genetic component to alcoholism, and that's how it has been described to me. I got no, like, environmental reasons, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, I grew up in a normal household, a good childhood. I didn't really have any reasons to drink, except for the fact that I really enjoy it. You know, once I start drinking, I truly love the effect produced by it. And fortunately for me, I was able to do that at a young age and with no repercussions. I was like 13 when I started drinking, and the drinking age in Germany was 16, and that's pretty lax, so I had no issues with any of that stuff. It wasn't a problem, so it just wasn't a problem, you know. My parents were pretty open about as I got older. Once I turned 16, they were cool with it. Before then, they really weren't all that great with it. But once I turned 16, it was, I was free to do what I really wanted to do. I made decent grades without trying, so I didn't. And that's basically like the story of my life, you know. I put forth like minimal effort. And I want maximal results, but I'll accept, you know, what I get for putting in the least amount of effort. My dad told me once that I come from a long line of underachievers. I don't know, it fits. So I'm in Germany, and I don't know if I remember my first drink. I remember the first time I smoked weed. That was like my drug of choice, you know, throughout that period of my life. But the drinking was always there, and I identify as an alcoholic because I like what it talks about. You know, if I'm not drinking, I'm thinking about it. You know, I'm planning my next drink, you know. Early on, it was just a weekend thing. Never drank during the week, but as I got older, I think I had my first blackout at like 16, and that's when things started changing, you know. That was around the time where I was on something or another every day. You know, I'm noticing I'm agitated. You know, if I'm not doing something in the morning, you know, any kind of drugs or drinking, I'm pretty agitated. And usually I wasn't drinking in the morning at that time. But as time went on, that changed, and I did start drinking in the mornings. At this point, I'm just living a regular high school life and really enjoying partying. Moved to the States after I graduated at 18, and that's when I first started seeing the consequences of it. I got arrested, like, I want to say, like, 10 days after I moved to the States for underage drinking. And of course, you know, I feel like I should be able to, since I've been, you know, the last couple of years, I've been able to do it legally, so I should get a pass. And the rules don't apply to me. But that stage of my life, my drinking had really progressed, you know. Drinking every night, roughly, a couple times, blacking out a couple times a week. And not really no direction. Going to school for who knows what. Not really showing up. Community college, dropped out. Dropped out later on in life, too. Yeah, my dad's words kind of rang true. I joined the military because I thought that would make me an adult. And it served its purpose. And I'm really grateful for it because you know, I got in a lot of trouble while I was in, and they started sending me to, like, alcohol counseling. Like, I had to go see this counselor for the majority of the time I was in, about once a week. And, you know, I'm lying the whole time I'm in there. They're asking me how much I'm drinking. I'm telling them, oh, this is the first time I've ever blacked out. That's why I got arrested. Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you really can't say that your third and fourth time. So, you know, I got to be a little bit more honest every time I'm going in there. And but that was a good thing for me. They suggested AA for me then, and you know, I got in quite a bit of trouble. My first I think that was my first 6 months. I'd been arrested twice already in the Air Force, and I was not really sure if I was going to be around too much longer. And they tolerated me for about another 2 years or so more. But you know, blackout, wake up in jail, not sure how I got there. You know, that's the kind of drinking I do. And you know, if it wasn't for people enabling me, like, I wouldn't have made it to work on time. You know, I got buddies coming down to my room to wake me up so I can make it to work, you know, because I've been drinking till 4 in the morning. So really my priority in life, you know, up to my mid-20s is, you know, I'm going to drink, you know, and that amount increased. And, you know, the consequences didn't scare me enough, or didn't scare me as much as stopping drinking did. You know what I mean? The thought of not drinking was much more terrifying than anything they could have done for me. And, yeah, so I kept doing it. I don't know, I'm probably 22, where I start getting real kind of somewhat depressed and really start thinking about not wanting to kill myself, but really thinking that I might be better off not here, you know. People might just be all right if I'm not around. And the thought of death isn't really scaring me, you know what I mean? I used to have these fantasies, like I would go into the gas station, right, and like somebody would hold it up and I could be like, stop him and get shot, and I'd be like this hero. Crazy shit like that, you know. I daydream about this stuff all the time. And, you know, I could be dead, but be like some kind of good guy. And, I don't know, man, I was fucking delusional. yeah, I mean, this is my life, man. So, I don't know, 24-ish, and I really start, like, seeing what alcohol is doing to me, what drugs are doing. You know, I've kind of cycled off and on certain drugs and this and that, but the alcohol had always been, like, the main. I don't know, I've always gone back to alcohol, you know. Which I identify mostly as an alcoholic, you know. I feel like I could, I don't know, I'm a drug addict too, but alcohol was really the main thing. And, I don't know, a series of events happened, and I want to stop drinking for myself, you know what I mean? I'm not running from really any people looking over my shoulder. I just know that I really got to quit drinking, or else things are not going to end up well for me. I go online and I buy the 12 and 12, the big book, and Living Sober. And I read them every night while drinking. And I burned through them, though, in like a week. And I really thought that they had a lot of good ideas in them. But I really wasn't sure how that was going to apply to my life. And I sure as hell wasn't going to go, you know, to AA and see how they could do it and help me. But I thought maybe I could take some of them ideas and apply them to my own life, which did not end up happening. But I think it really, I don't know, kind of opened my eyes to, like, how truly screwed I was, you know, like reading in the, in more about alcoholism. Reading that was like a brick to the face. The first time I read that, I was like, holy shit, like, I've done, besides death, like, all this shit's happened to me, you know, switch from wine to brandy, blah, 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 this and that, back and forth, like, this is my life, and, you know, I want to control and enjoy my drinking, and, you know, I'm not able to do both. And, the sentence that really did it, though, was that we agnostics, if when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. I was like, well, here we go. Here we go. So, I did end up checking out an AA meeting I drank before I showed up. I didn't talk to anybody when I showed up, and sat down and hoped it would be pretty small. And it filled up like shoulder to shoulder. It's like packed in there, and there was a speaker meeting, and the whole time I'm thinking that these people can smell me. They know I'm drunk. I'm like so self-conscious. And then the meeting was over, and I felt like spited because nobody like went out of their way to make me feel like whatever I was looking for, who knows. The red carpet hadn't been rolled out. Meanwhile, nobody knows who the fuck I am because I wouldn't talk to nobody. So I left and I got drunk. And decided that, hey, it really wasn't for me. I ended up moving to Florida about 2 years after that. And in that time period, things definitely went from bad to worse. You know, I was doing the whole quit drinking, start drinking, quit drinking, start drinking. And I couldn't keep it together, man. And depression, I don't know. It got pretty bad. You know, I'm getting, like, actively suicidal at this point where I'm like, well, not that I got made any moves, but I'm like, at this point in my life, I'm 100% positive that I'm going to die from suicide. It's just, like, a matter of when and not if, you know what I mean? And I was not in a good place. And, you know, I'm not happy drinking, and I'm not happy not drinking. And I just can't keep it together. You know, I'm losing jobs. And getting ones that are worse than the ones before. I'm living with my mom, and, like, she's a saint. I don't know why she didn't murder me or kick me out the house, but, you know, she's probably got her issues there. So, basically, I'm living how I've always lived, you know, just floating by. And I got an opportunity to move down here. My mom moved down here. And I pretty much followed her down because I was afraid. I was afraid if I stayed up there, I'd end up killing myself. So I came down here with her not too much longer after she left. And Tampa was going to be it, you know. I'd lived in a handful of places in my life, you know, different countries. And I always thought that, like, the next move was going to fix me or things were going to change. And I learned pretty quickly that that was not the case. And Tampa was no different. I got down here the 27th. December in 2012, and I hadn't drank in like 3 months. I'd done a couple other drugs here and there, but you know, I was very proud of myself. And I knew some people down here, and so when I got here, I immediately started going out to the bars with them. And I'm sober, and I'm so proud of myself, and I'm patting myself on the back that I can go out with these guys and just have a great time and not drink. And that lasted until New Year's, like 3 days later. And I go out, and I'm not going to drink. And I'm so proud. We go to the pre-party at somebody's house, and they're doing all kind of crazy shit. And, you know, and I'm there, and I'm not. And I'm feeling good about it. And then we go to this club, and, you know, I walk in swearing I'm not going to drink. And, I mean, I don't even know what happened. I 3 steps in the place, and I'm like 2 drinks down already, and that set off my last little run. And you know, my drinking never was as bad this last go around as you know, the worst. And there was no consequences, you know, while I was here, but mentally I was not all right. You know, I'm in downtown St. Pete, like, talking to random people, like, openly talking about suicide, and like, crying. I mean, I was fucked up. I remember one time, I don't remember much of the night, but, like, there's this girl's birthday party who I kind of, like, invaded. And, like, I'm pretty sure she might have saved my life that night somehow. I was that guy, man. I was not all right. And very unhappy with myself and the world around me. So, I don't know. I ended up my last night drinking and was one of them... I don't know, come to Jesus moments, I guess, where I truly realized, like, it didn't matter where I was or what I was going to do, like, that this was it, you know what I mean? Like, I cannot stop drinking. And that was the first time I'd ever really felt like that, you know? So I don't know. I didn't end up killing myself, but I'd made the decision I was going to, and it just didn't work out that way. But, so I slept off a hangover for a couple days, and I ended up coming to AA, and I was terrified. But people were cool. I walked in and I said I was new and I shut up. And they told me, you know, what it was like when they came in. And I identified with everything they had to say. And it was cool. My first month I was sober, there was a guy in my home group who, like, he was 72 years old and he picked up 42 years sober, and that, like, blew my mind. You know, he got sober at 30 and I was just about to be 27. And, you know, he had a lot of the same type of stories, you know, kicked out of the military, this and that, and, you know, it was cool. So I'd show up early to the meetings and help them set up, and they gave me a key to the building and told me to make coffee. I told them that they had to show up at least the first day and show me how to make it because I'd never drank coffee. And I don't know, I didn't really want to do any of that, but I, like, kept coming because, like, they were so adamant about it, and I really didn't want to disappoint them. So, you know, I kept showing up, and it was good. I'm glad I walked into that group because, I mean, it was mostly older people. I know I came to the YPG group one time, and I was, like, so fucking intimidated by everybody being young and stuff. Like, the older people were non-threatening, and I just felt a lot more comfortable with them, so it was like I kind of stuck to that group, and, you know, the old 80-year-old ladies would flirt with me, and I'd be like, oh, you know, and it was good for me. And but they went through the book, you know. They met three times a week. They did a big book meeting, a 12-and-12 meeting, and a meditation meeting, and they told me to come to all of them. And at first, I did not. I'd show up on Tuesdays because that was my day to make coffee. And, you know, some weeks I only showed up on Tuesdays. But sometimes I came all 3 days, and it was good. You know, the meditation meeting was nice. Like, it got me to sit still for once, you know, which I could never do my entire life, you know. Sitting in my head just running nonstop. And there was two clocks in that room. I'll never forget this. And with, like, the loudest second hand in the world, both of them. And they were, like, a quarter second off, so it was like tick, 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 tick. And we did like a 15-minute meditation, and that's like all I could think about the whole time, and drove me fucking crazy. But I went every week, you know, and you know, eventually learned how to, like, sit at peace with myself, which was crazy, you know. In the big book, you know, we'd go through that, and I read the big book before I came to AA, so I obviously had a leg up on most newcomers, so they didn't really need to tell me about this stuff, because I knew it wasn't going to work for me. I believed it had worked for you, but, you know, the God is not going to work for me. You know, I'm an atheist, and I just can't magically will myself to believe in something that's just going to magically remove my problem. So I'm going to come around because you guys are nice, but, you know, I don't know about the steps. And they explained to me that maybe that's not how it worked. And so I listened, you know, and they'd talk about things, and I'd talk to them after the meeting and be like, look, I don't know about this, you know. I'd share the problems I had, and they'd, you know, offer their perspective on it, which was vastly different than mine, and kind of opened my eyes a bit. Throughout all this time, like, one of my best friends that I'd grown up with, he was living in Chicago at the time, and he got sober a couple years before I did. Like, the first time I was, like, really trying to get sober, was like he was doing the same thing, except he went to AA and, like, stayed sober. So he's been sober 7 years now. But you know, when I first came in, I would call him up, and he's, like, the most stubborn person I've ever met in my life. So I knew if he can do it, then I was pretty golden. So I called him, and I'm like, you know, about this God stuff, I don't really know. And he said, I call it the praying atheist. He said, prayer and meditation is probably the biggest aspect of my recovery. And I said, well, maybe I'll give it a shot then. And I started doing that. And I was 2 months sober, and I just heard what I needed to hear in a meeting. And I didn't really have a sponsor at this time. And some guy came in and was talking about how, like, I don't know, his life was just in shambles. And problems with the wife. And, you know, he just, like, sunk all the last of his money, like an amount that I'd never even seen before, into his business that was failing, and, you know, that wasn't going to help anything. And but he was, like, 100% at peace, and, like, I really believe that. So I asked him to be my sponsor, and he really wasn't playing games. He was like, all right, I'll do it, but you're going to do 90 meetings in 90 days, you're going to call me every day, you're going to go to that home group that Chase had mentioned, that Black Belt Southside men's meeting. And You said you're going to text me three things every day that you're grateful for. And I was like, oh, shit. But I said, okay. You know, and I did all that. And it was good. The 90 and 90 helped a lot. You know, I went to a lot of meetings. And it's funny. Like, I remember I went to the Nightly Newcomers once. There was some dude in there. I think he was, like, drunk or something. I don't know. And he was talking about the devils and this and that. And I was like, this place is fucking crazy. Like, I'm never going back there. And then I went a couple weeks later with my sponsor on a Friday night, and it was like the best meeting I'd ever been to. And I was, got real active in that group and was for, a few years and had a service commitment in there. And, it's just funny how all that works. Just, I show up one time and I have a bad experience, and I'm like, this is fucking crazy. And, it was, but I guess that's AA for us. So, I noticed pretty early on, like, once I started working the steps that, my thinking had started to change, and people like in my, in the groups I went to, like, noticed at first, like, the old ladies, oh, you've changed so much, and I'm like, you've known me for, like, a month, like, and I haven't really said anything, like, you don't know anything about me. I'd be like, oh, okay, thank you. And, I think I was, like, working on my four step, and I noticed, like, my thinking was starting to be more positive, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't work the first couple months I was sober, and I used to take these walks every night, like, at midnight, and just basically talk to myself and smoke cigarettes, and neighbors thought I was crazy. And I noticed, like, there was a moment where I realized, like, holy shit, like, these are becoming, like, positive experiences rather than, like, me just being all in my head and, like, worried and scared as shit. And, that's when I really knew this was starting to work. And, I don't know, just a lot of little moments like that, you know what I mean, where I slowly realized I wasn't such this negative, like, scared, really, you know. I mean, I was terrified my whole life of, I couldn't tell you what, but there was always, like, this baseline fear of anxiety and worried that I would have told you I never had, you know, but I was able to keep that down pretty well with drugs and alcohol. And, I learned once I took that away, I was not a very rational, sane person. So, I went through the steps with a sponsor, and he told me it was time for me to start sponsoring other guys, and I was like, holy shit, like, this one I thought it couldn't get scarier. You know, I was, like, terrified. I made a mountain out of every molehill, you know, all the steps, and started working with other guys, and I was terrified. And what happened was, this guy came in, and he was, like, my parents' age, and he'd been, like, homeless for 7 years, and, like, you know, his oldest kid was my age and had all these life experiences that I never had, and he asked me to be a sponsor, and I was like, there's no way in hell, like, this guy's gonna die, you know, like, there's no way I can help this guy. And it was cool. We became, like, really good friends, you know. The guy, anything I asked him to do, he did more, you know, and he just really showed up in AA, and we became really good friends, and I learned we had a lot more in common than I thought, you know. And that, and I'm glad that happened early on, because that really, like, I don't know, changed my whole perspective about it, because I thought, like, you know, I'd never been married, I got no kids, I've never had any, I don't know, there's a lot of things in life that I haven't done, you know. And I see these people coming to AA, you know, and they're like, oh, I did this, I'm a fucking doctor, and I lost it all, and I'm like, I can't identify with that, because I just never got anywhere, you know. So I'm like, I don't know if I can help people like that, but I learned that, you know, I didn't have to have those experiences, you know what I mean? And, my sponsor told me, well, you've been through the steps, yeah? You can show them how you did that, and that's it. So, I don't know, really, I attribute everything that I got in life right now, you know, through being sober in AA. It's been pretty crazy. I think the greatest thing is just that peace of mind, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, I've been able to handle life, you know. I remember it was like a year and a half sober, and I didn't think I was very unhappy with a lot of things about me. Like, financially, I wasn't where I wanted to be because I was spending all my money on dumb shit. And so I sat down with somebody and, like, got a financial plan and started saving money, and then I got I went to the other extreme to where I started working, like, basically any liquor overtime I could get, and I'm, like, living on nothing and just, like, the most financially insecure I'd ever been in my life. And I was the most financially secure I'd ever been, you know? It was crazy. And that kind of opened my eyes, too, once I realized what was going on. I was like, maybe I can do more in the middle. And, you know, I was unhappy physically with myself, so I started going to the gym with my sponsor. And I was terrified there, too, you know? So I met him every morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we'd go to the gym. And eventually I got over that fear, and, you know, it started becoming something I love. And, you know, little things like that, you know, it's have all been a direct result of, you know, just showing up. That meeting that Chase talked about with the commitments, that, like, has been, I don't know, it's been, like, the pillar of my sobriety, I think, you know. A lot of really good men in there, and, you know, they held me accountable. And, you know, going through that, just how to show up when I'm asked. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it, which has not been the case, you know, for the previous 20-something years of my life, you know. I've been like, I'll do it. I have no problem telling you I'll do things, and then I'm immediately weaseling my way out of it. And, I don't know, man. I think, you know, I feel all right with my life, you know, and I feel, even, like, in the worst of times, there's, like, this underlying hope that things are going to be all right, you know. Like, since I've been sober, they always used to say that shit, and I thought it was the corniest stuff. I was like, no, but the guy said, my worst day sober is better than my best day drunk, and I'm like, these guys are crazy, and I don't know, man, I think that might be the case, you know. I'm truly happy today, you know, which is something I could never say before. And I know it's not the, you know, it's not money, this and that, that's getting me that, you know. I got a piece from inside, which comes from showing up here in AA and helping out when I can, and trying to do the next right thing, which is what I love about AA, because I'm surrounding myself with people doing the same thing. Because before, all my friends would co-sign any little bullshit I got, and now I learn things by people, and they're like, nah, man, you are fucking up. And, you know, I gotta take that to heart. So, if you got anything from that, good. If not, next week will probably be better. Thank you.